שלום לכם, תודה
ש... Hello to all of you, thank you for joining us. We are here in our new life series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello to you. Hello everyone. This is show number 1200. And yeah, you may be right. Yes, of course, you're right. It's show number... 1251, and today's topic is the demands of the workplace. We're used to working a lot. A person goes to work, comes back in the evening. There are studies showing that if at 8 p.m. you're still at work, your family is probably not doing well. But this is what we're used to. It can be something, someone who's a great tycoon running international businesses, and it can be some small a programmer that has to work for many hours, a doctor taking insanely long shifts, a kindergarten instructor who's with her children on the phone, and so we call this style of life the demanding workplace, right? And the question is, why did we create such demanding structure, taking so many hours of person's time? Why? Dr. Lightman. Because we think that by this, we will get a better life. That we will advance, that we will flourish, that it will be good. So we measure success in life by the number of hours that I work. If someone hears that I work a lot, many hours, well, probably he thinks I probably have a very large salary I get, or I have some very special job or special position, it's respected. By the way, I know people in many countries who work in government. I know that at 9, 10 p.m. they're still in their offices. What are they doing there? According to my investigations, they're not doing anything really. They're just showing others that they're working. That's the workplace culture, so to speak. Owen, in the past, people thought that technological advancement will relieve us from this need to work for so many hours. If I look at processes happening in the last 100 years, it's the exact opposite. We advanced technologically a lot, and on the other hand, people are working crazy hours. Excuse me, but when, you know, people are going to sleep, they're still answering work emails and messages on the phone. So how did it happen that what we thought is going to happen did not come about, and rather we got the exact opposite? Why did technological advancement not release us from this very demanding situation? Dr. Lightman, we don't want to be released. We came to a state where our work is our life. We replaced life with work, as though that's life. Suddenly I look at people in a way where what interests me is, well, what do you do? What's your work? What do you work at? Everyone's talking about work. It used to be that people talked about, let's say, I don't know, soccer more, sports. Now it's less. People talked about their vacations a bit more. Well, not so much. The work becomes more and more. And this is clear. If a person is at his workplace for 10 hours a day, what else does he have? What else can he talk about? Everything revolves around his profession. He lives around that. Owen, would you say this is a natural development or something that's distorted, warped? Dr. Lightman, of course it's warped. We weren't born to work like that. We were just destroying the earth also through that. Oh, and what exactly is the warping here about, Dr. Lightman? We're destroying the earth, plundering its riches. We're destroying the, polluting the ground, the water, and the air. We're collapsing the family structure. We leave our families and children. We have no connection with them. The father comes home, sees some news, evening news or something, and goes to sleep. The mother goes home. Poor thing, she wants to make some dinner for the family. If she can find the time, maybe in the morning she wants to make some sandwich for the children for school or something, and that's it. They have no power, no strength. They fall and fall asleep. And in the middle of the night also, there may be work calls. You understand? We built our lives up in this way. Owen, once upon a time, it used to be different. A few generations ago, the royalty, right, if we take them to be the elite of the society, they weren't working people. You had the lower castes working. You had the aristocracy of ages past who, I don't know what exactly they did, but they didn't have to work and labor. Today, it's actually the exact opposite. The elites are people who work the hardest. And it doesn't matter if he has millions or billions in the bank. A person who's high-functioning like that, with potential, with a strong mind, creative, he works from morning to night. He doesn't take a minute to breathe. How did it invert, Dr. Lightman? It's not aristocracy. People working in all sorts of high positions today, that's not the aristocracy. They're the working class, let's call them. The people working in education, culture, all those things, it's not aristocracy. An aristocrat is something, is a person who has money and doesn't need to work in order to get more money, and he has time. And because he has time, and he's properly set up in his life, and he's well-to-do, then he can take an interest in, well, his personal interests. Philosophy, culture, something of that sort. That was the aristocracy. Very learned individuals who had no great concerns, because you can only develop something good on the condition that there's no pressure exerted on you. You owe nothing to no one, and you can follow your heart. And so they were forward-looking people, forward-thinking people. Those were the true aristocrats. In order to be a scientist, a composer, an artist, in order to be a developed person, you need time, with no pressure. And from generation to generation, these people would develop culture, education, the education and culture for humanity. Later it became a profession, and then it all came to a close. Oh, and so what is that transition where you say it became a profession and it all came to a close? What exactly changed, Dr. Lightman? What changed is that it's no longer according to the pool of the heart, but rather according to the pool of the pocket, let's say, the purse. Owen, so not according to the heart, but according to the pocket, yes? If today I build up a startup company with an amazing educational vision or amazing, I don't know, something to do with health, and truly to do good to people. And if I want to establish this startup company to the point where it truly contributes to humanity, I need to work for a few years like mad, not to sleep at night. can you say that I'm different from that aristocrat scientist of old? Why? What's the difference? Dr. Leitman, that one had no goal in mind, but for the fact that it took his fancy, right? It was something he was interested in. He didn't look for any outcome. He only engaged in it because he liked it. It was interesting to him. It's a completely different thing. You need to succeed and make a profit, and then it's a job. It's a profession. You're like a worker then. And he engaged in it because his heart was drawn to it. And it's completely different. That is what we need. Owen, let's define exactly what we need. Dr. Leitman, in the next generation, we want to develop such a society where people live only in order to supply for themselves the base necessities, which truly with the technology we have today, we should have gone past this stage of human development, this vortex with the universities, with technology and everything. But now, we need to bring ourselves to a state where it's as it used to be, where people don't work in order to make a profit and succeed, and each one pushing the others, trying to make room for himself. No, rather each one works on what his heart wants. Not to make a profit, not to find success, nothing of the sort. No, that's not even a goal in my mind. I'm an aristocrat. Like aristocrats used to be. I have everything I need. That's it. And if I engage in, let's say, painting, art, music, science, something, then I'm doing it because I see it as something that calms my spirit. My heart is drawn to it. That's how it should be. And we're capable of establishing this order today. Owen, you made this kind of hand motion, right? The money. Where the money entered in and then it's destroyed our previous definitions. Dr. Leitman, yes, we completely spoil everything. An aristocrat doesn't think about money, doesn't think about profit. It comes to him as if from above, like the Creator will take care of it. Owen, okay, but we're not living in a dream. Dr. Leitman, we can come to a state where I have no cause to be concerned about my necessities, right? If we organize the proper society for ourselves, we can easily supply ourselves with food, clothing, everything else we need, healthcare, let's say, everything we need in such a way where there's no scarcity, we have everything. And then our day is wide open. I don't need to get these phone calls at night from my workplace. Owen, a few dozen years ago, dozens of years ago, maybe even before, visionaries looked towards the future and they saw where we live, where we may live, and they said, look, technology is evolving, science is evolving. At some point in the future, they said to themselves, our children or grandchildren will live in a much better world. They won't have to work and toil like donkeys, like beasts from morning to evening. A person will be able to develop his spirit. If I examine that, then I look that we're light years away. Now you said the same, right? A person will work in whatever his heart is drawn to. Do you think this will come about? Dr. Leitman, yes, there's no choice about it also. I won't do it because I'm attracted to being a painter or a composer or something like that, like those aristocrats. Because even though that's the best thing, really, why not? Instead of millions of people going to offices, sitting in offices, why shouldn't they sit next to musical instruments and discuss things and write, compose compositions together or something, learn how to paint? Why not? What do we really need in our lives? Through our lives, we want to know the inner person within us and the upper force as well. We have something to do instead of manufacturing all sorts of garbage that we end up throwing into the sea. Owen, if I look forward, then we know the demanding work culture now. If a person is not working hard, he's either unsuccessful, a failure, or lazy. Either nature didn't give him any ability, or he's just lazy, a layabout. Right? That's how we think. When you look forward, what can be more advanced than the demanding work culture? Dr. Lightman, no work culture. Work culture is such that I know that I need to provide my society with a few hours doing various works to maintain the society. And that's it, a very limited number of hours, let's say 2 hours a day or 1 day a week. And it all ends with that. Owen, and everything is done by robots and computers? Dr. Lightman, I don't need that many robots and computers because I don't need to produce so much product. Why? Why do I need to manufacture so many things? Malls, shops are full of garbage rags that I keep throwing out, discarding. Look at how many types of radios and televisions and computers you have. What for? I need to know that I need to give each one an apartment. Yes, that's necessary. Food, clothing, that's necessary. Minimal things. A certain norm. And that's it. That's enough. If we thought in that direction in a year or two, everything would have been supplied to everyone in the world. It would have been done. And then what would we do? Only work on how to fulfill ourselves with various spiritual fulfillments, human fulfillments. Owen, so let's hold a little summary here. Dr. Lightman, I was born not in order to work hard, but I was taught that without working hard, I cannot exist. Owen, so the future person becomes a lazy layabout? Dr. Lightman, no, thrifty. He uses his energy sparingly and only in the right direction. Owen, what's the right direction? Dr. Lightman, inner development in what typifies the human being rather than a machine. Owen, what is inner development exactly? Dr. Lightman, to know why I live, what happened before I was born, what happens after I die, what happens with the whole world, this psychology, this philosophy, my participation with all the forces of nature, the development of the inner person within me, the inner man. And also I want to develop my connections with other people. If we're not always competing, it will be easier for us to come closer together. We will take care of our children and instill in them also a different attitude towards each other from childhood. Owen, what kind of attitude would you like to see in children? Dr. Lightman, where they don't fight, because people are born bad, as it's written. Owen, yes, also in the workplace, we sort of have these fights. Dr. Lightman, exactly. So let's arrange for ourselves such a framework for life where there's no stress, no hatred, pressure. Owen, what causes this pressure? Dr. Lightman, competition. Oh, and competition develops you. It's written that the envy among authors increases wisdom. Dr. Lightman, I don't need that competition. No, that's something else. This is the envy of authors, as we say. It's for the sake of advancement and not for the sake of hatred. Owen, I don't understand exactly. Dr. Lightman, if I assemble smart, intelligent people, then by arguing, they increase their wisdom, they clarify it. If I take people, each of them holding weapons instead, then through competition, they just kill each other. There's a difference. The wise people develop. It's called the seven righteous men, or rather a gathering of the wise, and those with weapons, that's a gathering of clowns, let's call it. Owen, what's the difference, Dr. Lightman, the goal? Owen, how would you define a goal that brings about social progress? Dr. Lightman, it's where we want to develop, and we understand it from, well, the war of minds. The war of minds begets wisdom. The envy of authors begets wisdom, it's written. Owen, a person 100 years from now, will he be a philosopher? What will he be, Dr. Lightman? Not a philosopher. No, I don't call it philosophy. Although, I guess you could call it that. The person of 100 years from now, he will understand how nature governs us and how we can come into interaction with nature in order to attain the meaning of life. Owen, other creatures in nature, do they work as hard as human beings, or do only human beings work that hard? Dr. Lightman, only human beings. If we look at the way animals live, they have lots of free time. They play around. They go to sleep for a few months in the year. Many such things. No creature lives like the human being. The human being is the true beast. Owen, there's a sentence I like a lot. It says, go to the ant you lay about, see its ways and learn. The wise one says, don't sit at home and be lazy. Go learn from the ant. Now, I come from a settlement, a village. Now, I liked looking at ants because they build their nests everywhere and they're constantly in motion. I don't know what's happening under the ground, but if you look on the surface, they're constantly in motion. They're moving together. You have the like lines of ants marching. It's like a body, constantly in movement, in motion. So the sages say, go learn from the ant. Why? And how is this related to the person of 100 years from now? Dr. Lightman, I think if we really delve into it to look at the daily schedule, let's call it, of an ant or any other animal, we will feel how we are the ants, while the ants are corrected creatures. There's a lot of research on this also, saying that it's for no reason that we're talking about ants, saying that they're stupid, they're mindless, subservient. No, for the majority of their time, and all of nature in general, the living degree and the vegetative degree, I'm not talking about the inanimate degree, even. So most of the time they're at rest, not at work like we are. Also, in our work, the work we do, you have no crucial, no goal that's actually necessary to achieve. It's all about ego and envy. Owen, because I have only 2 minutes left, if we skip forward, what will replace this demanding work culture? How can you define the next culture, the future culture? Dr. Lightman, we will need to fulfill ourselves with achievements which are cultural in nature. Cultural achievements. How is it a problem for you to learn why you live, what's happening with that? Alongside that, you will have music class, art class, Dr. Owen. What, it's like a work therapy or something? Dr. Lightman. No, we don't need to use this language. Forget about your language, the terms you used in the life that was. No, live in such a way where you enjoy whatever it is that you do. Start looking to how to develop yourself, to know why you live, what's the secret of life, the meaning of life. And if you make 10 pairs of shoes today and then someone throws them in the sea because nobody buys them, then you burnt up your time and polluted the sea and burnt up resources and nothing came of it. Oh, and do you think people in the future will be more satisfied in terms of self-fulfillment? Dr. Lightman, they will engage only in actions that benefit everyone and harm no one. Oh, and how will this affect a person's feeling of self-fulfillment? Dr. Lightman, that's exactly, listen to what I'm saying. If you do good to everyone, doing no harm to anyone, this will affect your state of your feeling of fulfillment. Oh, and Dr. Lightman, I would happily jump into that picture where a person does only what his heart wants to do, what he's drawn to, and develops himself that way. Will we all be like that? Dr. Lightman, yes, you will feel like the aristocrats of old, of 1,000 years ago, where you don't need anything from anyone, you don't exploit anyone, you're just living your life comfortably. Owen, I wish. So thank you very much. Thank you all for being with us. New Life, learning to live well. All the best. Goodbye.